First-time listener, welcome to the Shepherd's Comb. Let me tell you a little bit about what our show is all about and what we are trying to achieve in our goals. Simply this: to educate, inform, connect to, and identify the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We welcome all of you that are there to support us, that are in the same objective mode, if you will. If you are conscious of your identity, you know who you are. You are Jacob Israel. You are the lost sheep scattered abroad, the dispersed ones, as we would call. James 1 and verse 1, that is chapter 1, verse 1, is a written contract to all of the 12 tribes scattered abroad. And so then, our mission on the Shepherd's Call is to inform you that there is hope for redemption and for the blindness, if you will, of Romans chapter 11 and verse 25 and 26, that blindness in part. Now, if you will locate that scripture and mark it as an identity source, you can find that the Father has got a specific amount of days allotted, we believe 2,520 days, if you will, that Israel would be in a blind mode. Now, within that, the Bible said Israel is blind in part. Now, remember, there was always has been, always will be, even in the days of Noah, when Noah was the only salvageable correct genetics, if you will, remaining in the downline of Adam. And so, we are in peril today. We are warning. We have preached this message for the last 15 years that emphatically we are an endangered species. I'm talking about the white Western European Aryan race. We are an endangered species. Now, why? Because we have bought into the poison apple, or we have been lured to sleep, if you will. We were basically already asleep according to the scriptures. And it seems like that we refuse to wake up. And it's very strange why that we have the slumbering sleep. Now, the Bible said in part, so a remnant would be available to keep this identity of who we are, where we came from, what our purpose is, what our destiny is, and things of this nature. Now, our very origin itself is recorded here, where we're going to continue tonight in the very exciting series of the pre-Adamites. We believe that these mistakes were made pre-Adam, and that Adam fell from his lofty position, if you will, by choice. We covered that last night. Adam came as a reluctant participant in the fall of the woman. Now, let me describe for you just a little bit of what the scripture says about the woman. Now, Eve was a marvelous, wonderful, if you will, specimen for a woman. I believe that she was probably reddish, blondish hair. She had sparkling, dazzling blue eyes. She had what we would describe as cream-colored skin, and she was very desirous. Even Satan desired her, and with his cunning and craftiness, it says here, for there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcisions, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert the whole house, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre. Well, Satan had the treasures of the earth in mind. Man was given the honor of subduing the earth and replenishing it, as I covered last night. Now, Satan gets in the act here as he separates. Now, listen to me. What he done, he separated the man from the woman. Remember now, she is a byproduct of man. She's not an original creation because in Genesis 1:26, and here's the mystery. Some people never catch this. In the mystery of the gospel of Genesis 1:26, they were made male and female, them. He created he, them. So then they were spirit beings with the ability to be either male or female or both. Now that's a very strange way of putting it, but that's the truth. And so when Adam was brought down, Eve remained in her creative state, if you will, where she was in Genesis 1:26. She didn't come on the journey. And if I can simplify it for you, it's just as plain as day to me. If you bring down the simplicity of the gospel and make it very plain. Now, my dad raised me up on a Tennessee hill country farm, and he taught me the divine principles that were taught to him by his fathers, and we were all Anglo-Saxon, Irish, Scottish descent, and we took the closest route between the two points, and that was always a straight line. And my dad always told me that truth will prevail. Now, I know in my battles with trying to bring the truth to our sleeping Israelites, and we are trying to arouse them from their sleep as the Rip Van Winkle of the earth. That's what we are. And we are hesitant about bringing in our racial covenants to protect ourselves. Now, we have given our place, we've given our time, we've given our energies, we've given our money. We're the most charitable, the most... See, we are a blushing people. Only the Aryan race can blush. There's no other race upon the earth that can blush. We are a blushing people, meaning that we have conscience. The rest of the races do not have this built-in ability. Therefore, there's something very distinct about our race of people. We hold the most patents upon the earth. We have the most, well, we excel, we have excelled in all major regions of education and higher learning for hundreds of years. We built this country, our pioneer spirit, if you will, adventuresome spirit. We wanted to see what was on the other side of the mountain, or we had to climb that mountain if it was there. And so our pioneer fathers, very adventuresome, came into this country early on. Now, I ain't going to say that in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and discovered America. That's hogwash. America was discovered long before 1492. And there is archaeological evidence to support this very fact that goes back perhaps thousands of years before 1492, that there was an Aryan race of Hebrews located, living, thriving, and surviving in America. Now, that's very strange, but we find that the ships of Dan and the navigators of Issachar, those who were trained in navigational abilities, Yahweh collectively brought and taught his children, I'm talking about the tribes, to explore and to be adventuresome. And so therefore, even the Book of Mormon, if you hold it as any semblance of truth, there is some things that I hold that is suspect even in that book. But the original document, I do believe that Joseph Smith was given a privilege to uncover, unearth, if you will, a document of the history of ancient Israel in America. And in this case, the Mormon Church has gone in to an apostated position or condition, if you will, and I've told some of their missionaries as they run around all over the country that Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, would not recognize the church that is today. He would be appalled at the changes and the adoptions of policies that was outside or unacceptable to him and the gathering ones at that time. Their mission was to prove that they were ancient Israelites here before Columbus discovered America. And, of course, our government, ladies and gentlemen, let me show you something. In Ohio, in Newark, Ohio, there was mounds here in this area in Newark, Ohio, this near Columbus. And these mounds, called the Serpent Mounds, were full, if you will, of these tablets with this ancient Paleo-Hebrew writing inscribed upon them. Now, a lawyer found some tablets that had these strange writings upon them and tried to convince his peers and those that would listen that these were Hebrew documents. Well, guess what? In the late 1800s, when the United States government and all of the abilities that they had to muscle up pioneer spirits of men to build roads back then, they came in the early 1920s, and they crushed all these stones that were dug out of the mounds and made them for roadbeds, these ancient documents of history. Now we can move on up into Illinois, and we have the biblical archaeological evidence that there also was inscribed in these stones, and these are still available, by the way, this ancient Gaelic, if you will, some Gaelic and some Hebrew character writing upon these stones. It's amazing. And even in Los Lumas, New Mexico, there is a giant stone plastered, if you will, as it was in Joshua chapter 4. Remember that they were told to inscribe the stones after they plastered them and write in the covenant or the Ten Commandments. And amazingly, ladies and gentlemen, in Los Lumas, New Mexico, there is a stone. I have a copy of it, a color copy, where the name of Yahweh is emblazoned in Paleo-Hebrew, and the Ten Commandments are written, and his name is identified twice in the ancient Paleo. Ancient Paleo. This is predating the Babylonian of 586 B.C. Now, are you amazed as I am that there is a scientific, also hard artifacts and evidence that our forefathers, the ancient Israelites, long predating the dispersal of 721 B.C. when Israel was expelled, and in around 586 B.C. when Judah was expelled. Now, we know the route that they took through the Caucasus Mountains and things of this nature. So what we're trying to do tonight is to tie in to the pre-Adamites and prove that some of our own history here that we are trying to deal with, that we believe some people, and mostly in high places, and we shouldn't point fingers, but we'll leave your own imagination to discern who we're talking about here, is that they have destroyed this hard evidence, or tried to conceal it, if you will. I know a good friend of mine out in Oklahoma. He is the world's foremost paleo expert. Well, he's the second foremost noted paleo expert in the art of reading Paleo Hebrew. He's number two. I know one more man that actually taught him. So to give him the honor, but this man is a good friend of mine, and he is telling us that there are certain passages in the Bible, of the Old Parchment especially, and many places in the Greek New Testament, that have been altered or changed. We judge that he has the ability to know when there's some alterations been. And so I have learned a lot at his feet of understanding. Now, by saying that, there is now scholars that are digging up artifacts here in America that predate 50,000 years ago, that somebody was in here 50,000 years ago. Now, isn't that amazing? When history will only afford us here in America, if we go back to the ancient Hebrews, they only afford us the luxury of believing that we're only 6,000 years or so out, the Jewish calendar, like I indicated last night, will only go 5,000 and 700 years and 57, 5,757 years. Well, we know better than that. You must know better than that, ladies and gentlemen, that we are a more ancient a people than that. We predate Adam. To say that means we have to predate Adam. We have to go back beyond Adam. It predates the flood. Now, if you look at Christ 2,000 years ago, I told you last night how he went and preached to the souls that were disobedient even in the days of Noah. Now, what if that there was a society, a civilization, if you will, that predated the area of Adam, meaning that this earth was inhabited by those intelligent beings that before we get into Genesis 1 and 1, which it seems to indicate in Genesis 1 and 1 and 1 and 2, where we're at in our text, talking about the pre-flood area of time. And I wanted to go over to you, and I was talking about the woman. I want to show you how that the weakness of the woman brought in these temptations as for the serpent, Satan. He actually knew that the woman being the weaker vessel. Now, what does it mean by woman being a weaker vessel? Well, I used to think that we had more muscle until the modern era of women now that can outrun us, outshoot us, outplay us, outclimb us. A lot of them can outthink us, and that's for sure. So they've come a long way since the time that we thought they were the little petite ladies that couldn't lift weights, and they couldn't run track, and they couldn't do all these things. Well, they've proved otherwise as they have gone out and done all these things. But remember, the scriptures are very plain that they are the weaker vessel. Now, weak in, I'm talking about in the department of the mind. Of course, they can excel and be just as smart as we are. I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. Now, to say that, I would have to say this, praise Yahweh, that Yahweh knows that this is so. Now, Satan knew that it was so, that she was a byproduct, therefore a weaker link in the chain here. Now, the chain of Adam. So he didn't yank Adam's chain, he yanked Eve's chain. And then Adam, the Bible says, and I'm going to read you a scripture here, now listen to me as I read. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I would start about verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with the braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now, I'm not getting into what you wear. I believe it's what's inside, and I'm not, every man has his own way of trying to set his household and run it, so I don't interfere in that. But we're just giving you some scripture identification here. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works? Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Nonetheless, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and wholeness and sobriety. Well, what does that mean now? Let's go back to verse 13. For Adam was first formed and then Eve. Now, isn't that a strange word there, formed? Now, doesn't that take a little bit off of the edge of what we professed our things to be? Do you know the Bible says that the flesh profits nothing? Anything formed can be deformed or can be corrupted. But the spirit is always as it is from the very beginning. Now, you can't change the spirit. That's impossible. Now, the spirits can learn things, but they can't change their stripes, if you will, as a genetic species. The spirit is what it is. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. Once the spirit enters in, and that's what happened in Genesis when Satan, the deceiver, Now, he wasn't a snake, ladies and gentlemen. He wasn't something crawling around on the ground, and he wasn't hanging from a limb of a tree, as you've seen it depicted in ancient art, that the serpent was hanging up in a tree, and he was flickering his tongue at Eve, and he was enticing her to reach up and get the golden, delicious apple, and things of this nature. This is not what happened. This is fairy tales, and yet it is believed, practiced, and preached, and accepted in most of the bell boxes of the country, if not the world. We have, I'm telling you, we are so ignorant, fearful, and superstitious when the truth comes. I mean, you can get broadsided with truth, and you know, and most people never know what hit them because they have accepted the norm of tradition, and here we are. Adam was not deceived. Now, if Adam wasn't deceived, why did he go along with the woman and partake? Now, I remember I gave you the word when I taught on the trailing the serpent, that the word here in Genesis 3:14 and 15, where at that she did eat, is in the same class of the words that could be accepted in the Hebrew. Many words were appropriate here, and I think the least appropriate was eat, other than if you would describe it as a sexual appetite. She became excited and sexually aroused, if you will, when she was told that she could harbor or she could take into her body a food substance, the fruit of the womb, in other words, and that she could bear children in the image of Satan. Now, Satan, according to Isaiah 14 and the book of Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 and Ezekiel 31, that Satan was a very handsome dude, and he stood out. And so is he the one now? Is he the one that caused all this darkness upon the face of the deep before Adam ever came down into the third dimension? Remember now, for Adam was first formed and then Eve. Now, what does that, in direct relationship, compare the eighth day man? Now, listen to me. There was, if you go back, and this can actually give you the Salva formula. My heavens, we're already down at the bottom of the hour. And we're just getting warmed up, praise Yahweh. Well, Pastor Buddy, coming back on the second hour, we're going to get into these divine reasons of why that they were pre-Adamites and why we're going down the same trail of never learning, praise Yahweh. Stay tuned, come back in two, and we'll see you in the second half of the show, praise Yahweh. Well, we're back for the second half. Remember now, we're going immediately after we leave Truth Radio. We're going to soundwaves2000.com to finish up tonight on this very important, we think, subject. And, of course, I could talk about it for 6 months in a teaching class. And I'm glad to have you aboard tonight. I'm so thrilled to have you. I appreciate all your telephone calls, your emails, and your encouragement and your contacts with us and our sponsors here tonight, which is Miracle 2, praise Yahweh. And for your Miracle 2 products, you need to contact 877-289-7439. That's Dr. Gary. Now, if you are west of the Mississippi, it'd be very appropriate for you to call Dr. Gary. What a wonderful guy to get acquainted with. And just call him up and tell him Pastor Buddy sent you. And ask him a few Bible questions. He'd love to discuss things with you. He's a true blue Israelite. And so he's our sponsor tonight, praise Yahweh. We also have east of the Mississippi, our fine sponsor, Dr. Jack. And you can reach him at 888-281-7320. These are the men that make it possible for us on the Shepherd's Call. They sacrifice their tithes and their offerings and their above and beyond, if you understand what I'm talking about here, to support our tremendous workload that we have here on the radio. We are here every night, five nights a week, and we love it. We cherish it. I enjoy teaching. That is my calling. And, you know, if I didn't, I'd be out playing golf, or I'm retired. I could do that. Matter of fact, I had a brother. And that was 6 years younger than me. He retired about 6 years ago and was down in Florida playing golf, and he was stricken with an illness, and he died in 30 days. So, you see, we're not promised tomorrow. I chose to not play golf. I've chose not to enjoy the things of the world. I've forsaken all them to pursue my love. And my love is Jacob Israel. And my love is the truth for Jacob Israel. And so I love my father first, and then I love my brethren and my sisters in the divine name of Yahweh. Now remember, I want to show you in a point here. I think I pointed out, but I don't know that I've clarified it for you. I want to really get into this message. Sometime when I preach on Trail and the Serpent, we'll go back to Genesis 3, 14, and 15, and I'll really get on it. It's about a four-hour episode there to get through the scarlet thread of the genetic identity as we are making war against the serpent and his seed. So that's a very interesting scripture. I want to point out for you Genesis 1:27 verses 2:14. Now listen as I read again. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Verse 13, for Adam was first formed. This word is 41:11 in the Greek. It means a artificial, if you will, composition of something that is not natural or that is not real. It's not an original. It has to be made from a thought process, if you will, and then thought brings action, and the verb is the actionated part of where in the after the seventh day there was not a man to till the ground. It's very strange here that we got two creations even before we get out of Genesis chapter 1 and 2. We have a mystery right there right off the bat. Well, we're going back predating and showing you that there was actually a pre-Adamite existence, if you will, of beings that were on the earth and had corrupted the earth and had caused a great catastrophic event, if you will. Darkness plunged the earth into darkness, and it was void and empty. And it means like just like that the first world or the first earth was ruined by these predators as they come in to work their work. Well, there's nothing new under the sun, ladies and gentlemen, as I've quoted in Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, for what is to be has already been, praise Yahweh. So that's where we're coming from. Now look at Genesis 1:27. And so God created man in his own image, created. Now that's a different word than formed. The word here is 1254 in the Hebrew, and created. He created. Now this is a creation, and the other is a formed. Remember, this is a created man. He created him, male and female. This is Adam and Eve. Remember that Adam was first formed. Now, isn't that strange in the terminology that there was a pre-existing Adam, if you will, before there was ever a flesh man to hold the spirit of Adam? Isn't that strange? And how does that work? Well, that's where the mystery lays, and I'm trying to unfold it in the dimensional realm to give you a comprehension. This is very deep and very complex, but only the true blues, only the Israelites, these blushing people with a conscience can comprehend this. This is the meat that it just makes us thrive and grow in grace and knowledge, and it gives us a right back into the tree of life. Now, the earth was created, as it is written, to be inhabited. Isaiah 45:18 will give you that scripture. And it was inhabited before the flood of Genesis 1 and 2. And the work of the 6 days of Adam's time. Now, if you will go to Genesis 1, verse 3, and then compare that to chapter 2, verse 25, then you go to Isaiah 14:12-14, the one that I just spoke to you about, and then move on over for references to Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23-26, and Ezekiel 28:11-17, the chapter that I indicated, and then, of course, to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 8, which is, again, in these are in union with our ideal or comprehension that there was a pre-Adamite race. Now, in Genesis 1 and 10, the earth is called dry land, which means that Genesis 1 and 1 could read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and dry land. Since it was created dry, not wet and flooded, as it is in Genesis 1 and 2. Now, isn't that strange? Between 1 and 1 and 1 and 2, we got a heck of a big gap here of problems to confront or to think about. These things, and I've told you that Moses received these ideals, if you will, these spiritual principles. He was permitted to write what he did write. And we believe some of the word has changed, in especially in Genesis 3, where I told you the selection of words by the translators as they were translating now the Hebrew into the Septuagint, the ancient Greek scriptures, if you will, that the word that they could have chosen was lay, L-A-Y, rather than E-A-T. Now, they used the word eat to thinking, I guess probably people would understand that it was a sexual appetite that was loosed in man, or in the affairs here of between the serpent and the woman, in this case. So, the serpent knew by catching the woman, the weaker vessel. The Bible says she is a weaker vessel, and I told you, in spiritual things. Now, a woman can have faith in things she understands, but it takes a man. How can you hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sin? You say, well, evidently you're against women preachers. Well, if a woman can preach, I'm not against her. If she's got any Bible and she's called and anointed, praise Yahweh, let her preach. But I haven't met one. If I ever meet one, I'll say that I believe in a woman preacher. I had two of my preaching brothers. One of them was actually my flesh brother. They preached against women preachers, and they went somewhere to a revival, and a woman was up preaching, and they got a conviction, and she had them at the altar trying to repent. They'd been preaching for over 25 years, and bawling like babies. Bawling means crying, you know, tears flowing and everything, and I thought it was very funny, you know, for them to preach against women preachers and then being convicted by one themselves. So, I don't know, maybe a woman preacher come along and convict me one of these days, praise God. Well, it ain't happened so far, and if she's going to come along, she better hurry pretty soon, because I'm 65 and on my way in to, hopefully, the kingdom. Well, but it don't mean that I had anything against women preachers. I do believe that women can prophesy. I have received prophecy from women. And behind every good man, there's a woman holding him up, as the old saying goes. And it was so with Adam. Adam loved Eve with all his heart. Now, I believe in soulmates. I believe that Adam had to have Eve to come down. Everything was tried in the time that Adam was on the earth by himself. Now, listen to me. Adam, who was made in Genesis 1:27, or created, rather, male and female, the male part came down here and left the female. Isn't that strange? And he was here. I don't know how many years he was here, but he got so lonely he couldn't stand himself. Well, if you've ever been in love, you understand what probably Adam was in. He was in love with that other part of himself. They two shall be one. It's a very strange thing. If you get into doctrine of soulmates, that means if I'm correct in this, and everybody was to go to their rightful soulmate, they'd be more bags packed and more homes broken up tonight than you could ever imagine to comprehend. And so I don't want to get into that, praise Yahweh. That would cause a storm protest probably against the shepherd's call. So, you know, I get enough of that, praise Yahweh. Anyway, so we won't even touch that with a 10-foot pole, although we've alluded to the fact that it is possible that you could have in the original creation, if you were there when Adam was created, the Adam is a family. So we're talking about pre-Adamites, a family that was created before Genesis chapter 1 or chapter 2. When the seventh-day Adam, there was not a seventh-day Adam to till the ground. There was not a man existing in flesh to till the ground. Isn't that strange? So between 1 and 2, we've got a paradox here. We got a lot of questions, and these are the things that I settled in my mind over 30 years ago when I was fasting and praying. I was on a 40-day fast in these same things I'm teaching you for understanding. And the Father finally opened up my comprehensional understanding to give me the knowledge of what actually happens here. That in Genesis 3:14 and 15, she did not eat an apple. It was not Adam's apple, as we say, that caused him to fall. It was, in fact, a sexual sin, a union of unauthorized, it was an adulterated, a fornicated, if you will. Satan actually committed fornication by deceiving the woman. He beguiled her. That means he tricked her into laying with her. Now the word lay, if they had put the word lay in here, ladies and gentlemen, think about the consequences of comprehensional understanding for men and women as they read in the book of Genesis. Let me give you Genesis. And she did lay with the serpent. Now the serpent is not a snake. Get that off. This word is a code word to depict his cunning and craftiness and his craftiness to take her and deceive her. The woman was deceived. Now, Adam was deceived. He knew what was going on. But he loved her enough. Now, remember this. Now, we're in a spiritual environment. Now, here's something that most people don't understand. Here is Eve in a spiritual state. Now, we're still in the higher dimensions, ladies and gentlemen. We're not coming down to the third dimension yet. When the woman and the man, Adam, when they were cast out of the garden, they were cast out of the inner dimensions. They weren't cast out of a little vegetation place where we have believed on earth that there was a garden on the earth and things of this nature. Remember, I told you last night that there is a new heaven and earth to be created or to be brought forth after this one. So then that earth already existed in the inner dimension. There is, within the dimension of this earth right now, there's many interdimensional earths that exist, and it depending on how your ability to travel within those dimensions, Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven. If there's a third heaven, there's a one, two heaven, three heaven, four heaven, possibly five, six, or whatever, as I indicated last night. So it, likewise with the earth, there's going to be a new earth. Now, what about the old earth? Is it going to remain here? Yes, it will. Well, for what reason? It will be cleansed. This every place that Satan has, that's why the Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Now, what does it mean by that? Peter describes that, he said, now don't be fooled by these scriptures or the wording of these scriptures. Because he says, when we say that the earth perished in the flood, the mountains were in the water and out of the water, but they remained. And so, by the next purging or cleansing element will be fire. Remember those three things I gave you in relationship to the deep things? There's three things that bear record on the earth, water, blood, and spirit. Remember in Genesis 1, the spirit of Yahweh moved upon the face of the deep. Now we've got water as an element, and now we're going to bring fire for the final cleansing act. This is the finality of the episode when we have the three steps taken toward eternity. We had the water, the flood, first time. And now we're going to have the fire. And after that, we're going to have a spiritual union. We won't need any heat. We won't need any sun to warm us. We won't need all these things that you see that are temporal. And the heavens will roll back like a scroll. And then you can see the mystery of what Pastor Buddy's trying to describe to you of the inner kingdom. This is a grand, glorious place where Adam and the family of Adamites lived, existed, prospered, and had their ability, used their abilities to go to and fro throughout all of the inner dimensions, and they had dominion. Now, let me give you a scripture here. Most people think that angels are greater than man. Now, I'm talking about Adam man. I ain't talking about human, I'm talking about Adam man. But that's a wrong conception. Did you know that you are a saint, that meaning that you are an Adamite, if you're true blue, that you will be judging angels? Now, if you're the judge, who's the greater? Well, you say, well, why is it that the Bible says that the angels are greater and we're a little lower? Well, use that word lower and use your imagination and formulate the plan that I'm giving you here, that the inward dimensions is where man fell from. So he was lowered a little lower. At one time, he was equal with or even above because he had direct access to the bloodline of the Father, and angels didn't have that. It's something that they desired to look into, but they never had the opportunity, and they never could comprehend it. Therefore, in reality, they were jealous. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're beside yourself, and much learning has made you mad. No, they were jealous and envious, and they lusted. They really wanted the desire to mix with us. And in that sense, there was a strong desire. Well, I'm down at my, you know, at the end of the hour. I'm telling you, folks, an hour can go so fast that I can't hardly stand the fact that we have just ended the first hour. I would love to have hours and hours and hours, if it was possible, to preach to you on this very subject tonight, but we have expended all of our time. If you'd like to call Pastor Buddy tonight, area code 423-626-2172. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip is 37824, 626-2172. Tell me what you think about the pre-Adamite existing in a spiritual dimension that you possibly had never thought about. Praise Yahweh. And if you haven't, why, then we hope that this is for your learning and for your benefit, and that's why we minister to you tonight. Now, we got many friends. We got friends in North Dakota. We got wonderful friends in South Dakota. We got friends in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, and the Carolinas, both states, south and north. We got friends in Virginia, praise Yahweh, and we've got friends in Ohio. We got friends in Michigan that call us from time to time, and we got friends all the way up in the wonderful country of Canada and in the northern state of New York, praise Yahweh, and New Jersey. We got friends in New Jersey. We just got friends all over. We got friends in California. We got friends in Colorado. My, it's just wonderful. We got friends in Spain. We got friends in Germany. We got friends in France. And believe it or not, I got some friends in England. Praise Yahweh. So, it's wonderful to be able to have friends all over the earth that identify with the identity message. That is, 2C line, Jacob Israel. And we're so delighted to have you aboard tonight. And if you are new to us and you haven't heard of the pastor's call, you're the shepherd's call, as we are pastoring on this tonight, this is Pastor Buddy. I've been a preacher for over 40 years, and I have struggled, and I have strived, I have fasted, I've cried, I've laughed, I've mourned, I've run, I've crawled, I have went backwards. I've done it all, praise Yahweh, in my 40 years of ministry. And I finally come to a conclusion that the more I know about our wonderful Creator, the more I don't know. And His ways are past finding out. So every day I wake up, it's an adventure. To come to the work here in the studio, I've got books, as my wife says. I keep my downstairs studio filled. I've got encyclopedias and things of this nature, trying to do a study here at 65 years of age and still pressing toward the mark. So, Pastor Buddy, we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Truth. Join us tonight again at soundwaves2000.com for our second half. We're going to continue, and we're going to get into the flood. Praise Yahweh.